This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This Day in Sports History. Hey, and welcome back to This Day in Sports History. It's April 28th, and on this day in 1993, one of the most devastating cheap shots was delivered in NHL history by Dale Hunter. It was Game 6 of the Old Patrick Division semifinals between the Washington Capitals and the New York Islanders. The Islanders had the advantage in the series, and they were looking to close out the Capitals on this night. After winning the first game of the series, the Capitals were frustrated following three straight overtime losses. Dale Hunter put the Caps on the scoreboard in the first period, but that advantage was short-lived. It was tied at 1 at the end of the first, the Isles had a 3-1 lead at the end of the second, and took a 4-1 lead in the third, and with a little over 9 minutes left in the game, Hunter had the puck in his own end, but his pass was intercepted by Pierre Turgeon, who skated in alone on goalie Don Beaupre and wristed one past his stick side for a 5-1 advantage. And that's when things turned ugly. Hunter skated up behind Turgeon as he was celebrating the goal with the home team crowd. And with his head turned and his arms raised, Turgeon was blindsided by Hunter and sent flying into the boards. A fight broke out. Hunter was escorted off the ice by an official. Turgeon sat up on his knees holding his shoulder, and it was later determined that he had separated his shoulder and suffered a concussion. He missed the rest of the playoffs. But what's to do with Hunter? The cap season was done. And it was a challenge for new NHL commissioner Gary Bettman, who had just stepped into the role the previous December. Eventually, Hunter was handed a 21-game suspension at the start of the following season and a $150,000 fine, both record penalties for an NHL player handed down by the league office. The 93 season was Turgeon's best of his career. He scored 58 goals and assisted 74 others that season. He did play for another 15 years with four other teams, but he never approached those numbers again. And there are those that played with him that said he just was never the same player after that Hunter hit, delivered on this day in 1993. Also on this day, in 1965, New York Mets play-by-play man Lindsey Nelson became the first, and I'm going to say the only, broadcaster to actually do a live broadcast of a baseball game from a gondola. If he wasn't the only one, he was surely the first, and I'll be happy to recant that statement if somebody can send some proof that somebody else did it. But anyway, on this day, the Mets were in Houston to play the Astros in the newly constructed and opened so-called eighth wonder of the world, the Houston Astrodome. The day before, producer Joe Gallagher looked up and he saw the gondola, and he inquired if it could be accessed and used to broadcast the game. The Astros staff was accommodating and said, sure. It took about 45 minutes to actually make the trip, and once there, well, you had to stay there. So prior to the broadcast, Nelson rode the gondola to a point 208 feet above second base to call the action for the Mets that day. But unfortunately, Nelson had to watch as New York gave up a 9-6 lead in the sixth inning and lose to the Astros 12-9. On this day in 1988, something else that had not happened prior to nor since took place. The Baltimore Orioles lost to the Minnesota Twins 4-2 for their 21st straight loss to open up the season to set a Major League Baseball record for futility. The previous record had been 13 straight defeats to start the year. Cal Ripken Sr. opened the season as manager, but he was fired after an 0-6 start. Frank Robinson was brought in to replace him, and the O's didn't pick up their first win until the 29th when they beat the Chicago White Sox. Baltimore went on to lose 107 games and finished 34.5 games out of first place in 1988, and maybe it was the logo's fault. This was the last year of the smiling cartoon Oriole. It was replaced by the more ornithologically correct Oriole the next season. The cartoon Oriole would not return until the 2012 season. In 1987, the NBA announced that it was expanding, adding teams in Charlotte and Miami for the 88 season, and then teams in Orlando and Minnesota in 89. Of course, those teams would eventually become the Hornets, Heat, Magic, and the Timberwolves. And in 1967, this was the day Muhammad Ali refused induction into the armed forces, citing his religion as a member of the Nation of Islam. He was immediately stripped of his heavyweight boxing title and suspended from boxing. Ali was 25 at the time and in his prime after beating Sonny Liston in 1964 to earn the undisputed heavyweight title, and then defending it 9 times. In June, he was convicted in a Houston court, fined $10,000, and sentenced to 5 years in jail. Ali remained free as he appealed the decision all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. His sentence was overturned in 1971, and he never spent any time in jail. Ali was able to obtain a license to box in Georgia, and his first fight was on October 26, 1970, in Atlanta against Jerry Quarry. And side note, there is a podcast that you've got to check out. It's called Fight Night, and it's not specifically about the Ali-Quarry fight, but it is the backdrop to a wild heist that took place on that night, and you owe it to yourself to learn more about the man called Chicken Man. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? American Revolution War spy Anna Strong sent coded messages about the British Army to the Patriots by hanging her petticoats and handkerchiefs in a specific way on her clothesline. That's it for today. I'll have more fascinating sports history on tomorrow's edition of This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.